Globally, good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. It wasn't a dream. We've won at Anfield and it's a Monday morning where we can feel very positive. But it comes with a health warning. Ruben Amorim talking about luck and also talking about, this, maybe we don't run away with it. I also think what Roy Keane said was absolutely spot on. We'll delve into that about how yesterday may not have been a performance for tactical analysis or, you know, systems. Maybe those conversations still do happen. But what yesterday was about a result. It was about grit. It was about determination. It was about players turning up. And I think sometimes you can't get all three courses. I think sometimes you've just got to take the results. And that's certainly how I feel about it. We do moan about tactics. We do moan about teams. We do moan about individuals. We do moan about a lot around Man United because there's a lot to moan about. But one thing we do moan about is the inability to wear the shirts like it matters for 90 minutes. And I think that the performance yesterday may well have been lacking in some areas. And I want to delve straight into what Ruben Amorim said. And I agree with Sufyan. Let's go on a run from here. I mean, that's the big takeaway. I mean, we could do the show in 1 minute. We've got to go and beat Brighton. We've got to go and beat Forest away. I actually think we will beat Brighton, but I also want us to go and beat Forest away. I want the guy to get a fucking haircut. I want that Spurs game to be the fifth win in a row where it's a cup final. It's the haircut show, you know. I want that to happen. There's no reason why it can't happen, but it has to be the start of something, I agree. But look, let's bring it back to now. Let's talk about yesterday. Let's talk about all the reactions, some very interesting comments coming in. Some good, some bad. I think some people are talking out their arse. I heard what Jamie Redknapp said. I think he's completely wrong about what he said about Sir Jim Radcliffe. I want to talk about what Roy Keane said and a few others as well. But I want to start off with Ruben Amorim because I think when we look at the game yesterday, one of the things that sort of jumped out to me last night, and look, come one, come all, you know, I don't, look, I have to be very careful when I say this because the United Stand is probably one of the biggest influencers on fan content. You know, that we are the biggest community when it comes to fan content. And we probably had a very big influence on the fan space. So you've got to be very, very careful about, you know, having an opinion about opinion. But you've got to have an opinion. That's what fan content's all about. I'm not massively proud of the fan space at the moment because it just seems to become a bit of a mockumentary how people can go, I'm Amorim out, I'm Amorim out, I'm Amorim out, I'm Amorim out. Oh, Liverpool, take that, Liverpool. Oh, yeah, you thought you were going to get an easy win, didn't you? And I'm like, you were saying we were shit 2 days ago. Like, so I just think we desperately need a little bit of, like, in the fan base, we do need a little bit of common sense. And it flips the other way. We beat Liverpool. Can we just enjoy beating Liverpool instead of talking about we've got to get top four now? We could win the title. There are genuinely, it flips the other way. And I just want a little bit of balance. I was never Amorim out. I was never Amorim out. I said he's sacking himself. I said I desperately want him to survive. I don't want to sack another manager. I was critical, but I was never Amorim out. And I just think sometimes can we not be like that? Can we not be driven by the fact that we just want Manchester United to win? So we're all really happy this morning. We're all ecstatic yesterday. That's the most important thing. Got to stop dealing in extremities. Like, not every player that you don't like, you can't not praise them if they do well. Like, Luke Shaw played well yesterday. I'd get rid of him tomorrow. I'd get rid of him today. But he did play well yesterday. Ruben Amorim has made a lot of mistakes. And he probably will make more mistakes. Doesn't mean you've got to be Amorim out. Ultimately, that's what matters yesterday. We've not won at Anfield since 2016. Harry Maguire said, that might be my last goal. I'm out of contract at the end of the season. That might be my last goal to score for Man United at Anfield. It means a lot. Who knows what's coming down in the future? So you've got to enjoy these results. But context is key. And I think what Ruben Amorim had to say was really interesting because he said all the small things were perfect. It was really important for our fans. They struggled against Grimsby and Brentford. And today they saw a different team. And this is why I believe in Amorim. This is why I can criticise Amorim. This is why I can say, why do you play Bruno in midfield? I hate it. And I still do, by the way. Still do. There's things that Amorim does that I don't like, but I've never failed to not be impressed by his analysis of the football game. I remember that first win against Everton back in December last year, and people were coming out of Old Trafford going, Amorim ball's here. And I was like, that's not Amorim ball, by the way. It's a good win. I'm glad he's got his first win after a draw against Ipswich, but that's not Amorim ball. Oh, you're just negative. You're just negative. 5 minutes later, Amrin's doing an interview. That's not Amrin Bolt. There will be suffering ahead. That's not what I want. That's a good win, but it's not what I want. And this is what I love about Amrin, is that even when we win, he's not one of those managers that goes, praise me, praise me. We've had managers like this. Doesn't matter how they win. I told you so. I told you so. He's just not like that. He's very consistent and he's very honest. And I really like the guy. I like the way he speaks. I mean, obviously his press conferences have been better than some of his matches, but to come out after the game yesterday and mention Grimsby and Brentford is an acknowledgement of truth that is so important. He knows there might be more Brentfords. He knows it. That's why he's mentioning it. And that's why he's saying Liverpool is a great result and the fans deserve it and we deserve it after games like Grimsby and Brentford, because he knows those games happen this season and he knows they could happen again. So it's just that honesty and analysis that I love about Amrin. And he said, we came to the champions, our biggest rivals. So to see through the game was massive for us. And as soon as he said that, I thought, see through the game, where are we going here? And he said, sometimes we had a bit of luck. There are two shots on the post that could change the game. We have to understand also that the goalkeeper showed a lot of character. We started well. We had a very good spirit during the game. We didn't play well with the ball at the moments we created chances. We suffered some chances also. We lost a bit of composure in the second half. We managed well when we suffered their goal. That is a key point for our team. It was a great win, not a very well-played game from our part, but a great spirit. And you saw like go, oh my God, can I just have a little walk? Oh my God, I'm feeling energized this Monday morning. I have a manager that after a great win is spitting facts. You know, he's more facts than I would. I mean, I would not describe that result as lucky, but I love the fact that the manager is. I love the fact that the manager is saying we didn't play well. You know, I love the fact that he's saying in the second half, we lost the second half. I love the fact that he's saying we had chances that we should have took. And I love the fact that he's saying that, you know, effectively, it wasn't a great performance. It was a good result. And I love that. I love that honesty from Ruben Amrin, because that's how you build. Because time and time again, we've seen this football club win games like that and then go on a bad run because we get overexcited about the fact that we've beat Man City or we've beat Liverpool. And what Ruben Amrin was doing there is he's going, good result, but it's one win and there's a lot to learn from it. And I think it's just so important to have a manager like that. We as fans live off that for the week and we've got every right to do it. But the manager is basically saying, we're going back to work tomorrow. We're going back to work tomorrow because although we won the game, I wasn't happy with this. I wasn't happy with that. I wasn't happy with this. And that's just great because they can go to work and we can enjoy the result. Because I don't think we were lucky, by the way. I agree with Amrin in a certain extent. I thought in the second half, we changed. We didn't do what we did in the first half where we were a threat. I thought we reacted to their goal brilliantly. And I think that to me is the big takeaway. To go 1-1 with 10 minutes to go, I would have thought they're going to lay siege to our goal, and they didn't, and we got the winner. But we did lose composure in the second half. Bruno should have took that chance to make it 2-0. But I don't think we were lucky. I would say to Ruben, look, I love your honesty. I love the fact that, you know, we've got to build on this. But I also think that it's really important to say that in a game like that, I predicted this as well. I said Liverpool would win, but it would be 2-1 Liverpool and it would be close. It was 2-1 to us. I felt that game was going to be close. I thought they're not going to beat us 4-0. We're not going to win 4-0. I thought it'd be like 1-1, 2-1 either way. And it could have been 2-1 to them. If the referee blows his whistle, we don't get the first goal. If they don't hit the post or Gakpo scores that chance at the end, maybe it's a draw, maybe it's a win for them. But where's everybody been? Where's everybody been? Like, welcome to the world of football. Like, you don't go to Anfield and expect it to be comfortable. I don't think we were lucky. I don't think we were lucky at all. I think we played the game. We deserve to win the game. And if you played that game again, yeah, it could have been 2-1 to Liverpool. It could have been a draw. Or it could have been 2-1 to us again. We did enough to win the game. We deserve to win the game. I don't think we were lucky, but I like the fact that the manager is there saying, look, there's things from my point of view that I would like to see an improvement on. Because also, I don't know what you thought about this. I did like what Roy Keane said after the game. He said, well, there's a few things that he said, but He said, let's hope this is a big turning point for Manchester United. So this is Roy Keane. He said, let's hope this is a big turning point for Manchester United. We don't have to get bogged down after this game about tactics and systems. This was about players and personality and showing quality. The players looked like they were embracing playing for Manchester United. And never a truer word spoken. I think Roy Keane is absolutely spot on there. Think that, you know, if we start getting lost in tactics and systems, we're taking the wrong message from that game, and you almost make yourself look an idiot. What Roy Keane is saying, and I think it's the most important thing, and it's what I said at the start of the video, is that wasn't about tactics, that wasn't about system, that was about character, that was about personality, that was about putting a Man United shirt on and getting it. I mean, you look at Dorgu and Yoro when they came on. It's very rare that a player comes on for 20 minutes and gets themselves into the equation of being one of the best players on the pitch. And I thought Lenny Yoro was incredible when he came on. And considering Luke Shaw played well, Harry Maguire played well, and De Ligt played well, that's not taking anything away from the fact that he replaced a bad player. He replaced good players and played very, very well. So the character within that team, Roy Keane is absolutely spot on. I think talking about systems, I mean, I'm sort of like, 8 o'clock tonight, I sort of want to do the conversation about, you know, how can we be talking last week about changing the manager, not being happy with the team, and then tonight be talking about we're going to win the league. Maybe we delve into that a little bit more. But what I did see, what I would describe as a little bit dangerous on social media last night was so-called experts analyzing the game from a tactical point of view, saying that things like, you know, we dominated Liverpool, we absolutely played them off the park, the system is starting to smother teams, and I think that would be a completely and utterly inaccurate assessment of the game. We had to go to Liverpool and defend well and counter well, and we did it very well in the first half, to the extent that it didn't even look like a counter-attacking performance, because although it was, they had 60% possession in the first half to our 40, it felt like we were more of a threat than them at times. So it didn't feel like it was a counter-attacking performance. But what I would say is that we have seen these performances before under Ruben Amorim. We went to the Etihad last year and won like this. We went to Arsenal and knocked them out of the FA Cup. Manchester United's biggest problem is, and I don't think it will be lost on any of you, and it certainly won't be lost on Ruben Amorim, is we need to tell the players we're playing Arsenal next week, not Brighton. We need to tell them it's Chelsea. We need to tell them it's bloody Man City, because when we play big teams, we play well. And when we play teams we should beat, that's when the problem happens. But it's not as simplistic as, oh, I'll get up for Arsenal, but I won't get up for Brentford. What it actually is, and yesterday proves why you can't overanalyze the system and the tactics, and Roy Keane is correct and Ruben Amorim is correct, is the fact that if you watch the game, it wasn't dominant. You know, it could have gone the other way. It was a close game of football. And that in itself is brilliant against Liverpool, by the way. But when we play Liverpool and when we play Arsenal, psychologically, we think we might lose as fans. So we accept the back five. We accept the sit and counter. When we play Brentford or Brighton or Crystal Palace or Everton, we don't accept sitting back and countering football. We have to be more on the front foot. And when we're more on the front foot, we leave more space, and that's why we get done by teams like Brentford. So the interesting next step for United is not to tactically analyze the game that much, because we went to Anfield, we did park the bus at times, and we countered, and that's fine, because you'd expect that. But when you go to Burnley or Brentford, or you're playing Brighton at home, you can't do that. So it's almost, we've got to learn to win many different ways. We've got to learn to win, and we've got to learn to win in different ways. And we're very good when we're allowed to defend and counter, but we've got to be more than that. And that's when we'll start to see the real Amorim system, because the real Amorim system is not a back five and counter. And that's why Ahmad on the right wing is so important. And I know a lot of people have spoken about Cunha, a lot of people have spoken about Maguire and Bermo and De Ligt, and you know, I mentioned Yoro there. But I also think that it's worth reiterating again in this positive time, a shout out to Ahmad, because for me, That's his best game of the season by a long, long, long way at Anfield against our biggest rival on the side of the pitch that we've had issues. And I think if he doesn't get subbed, he probably ends up being man of the match. So I think Ahmad deserves a massive shout out as well. I thought he was absolutely incredible. Let me just grab some of your comments that are coming in because we do have a lot of comments to go through. I've got some more stuff from Roy Keane as well. I love how Amrim's post-match interview is the way he talked about team spirit. If you have fight, all-out mentality is a huge boost. That's what Sir Alex Ferguson built on, says Seth. I mean, look, I have confidence this morning. I don't know about anybody else. I do have confidence now. Some people might mock that confidence and say, how can you be confident when we've been here so many times before? And we have. Of course we have. Under many managers, we've had results like this, and then we followed it up with bad results. But we all said in the international break that these four games were massive. Liverpool away, Brighton at home, Forest and Spurs away. They're going to dictate our season. But the encouragement of yesterday is that that's Anfield. That's our biggest rival. That's the Lions' den. And we've gone and won. If we can't take that and party, then we're never going to do it, are we? And I think that, all right, Brighton could beat us. Forest could beat us. Spurs could beat us. But I'd be incredibly shocked and surprised if we went and had three bad results in a row now. And to be honest with you, I don't want to see one bad result. I don't want to see us getting beat. I don't. I'd love to win all three of the next three. But I want to win two and draw one minimum. And I don't see why we shouldn't. And people will say, oh, you're being massively naive. But like, there's no reason why not now. Like, there isn't any reason why we can't turn that corner. And I'm confident we can. And, you know, we don't want to overthink it. We just go into the next game, play with that character, and we will create chances because we've got players that can do it. We've got numerous players that can do it. The first goal comes from Ahmad and Mbeumo. The second goal comes from Bruno. So it's, you know, that's not forgetting people like Sesko, Cunha, Mount. So we've got people who can score goals. And with three centre-backs, we are quite solid. So I expect us to start getting results now. We've got to start getting results. And there's a lot of congestion around the top five. And I do remember saying this at the start of the season, that by game 10, as long as we're in touching distance of top five, then we've got a great chance of top five. What I would say is what I've been saying in the last few weeks, I still don't see the vision. I still think that's a very, 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 very good point. I still don't see what the vision is for Amrim's long term. Maybe the vision doesn't start till next season. Maybe this season is just about grinding results out. But we've got a great opportunity of moving up. And look, it's not all positive. I'm going to sit here and say I cannot stand Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. Now, Roy Keane put it perfectly. He said, there's not many players in world football that can put that cross into Harry Maguire. It is top class. We called it out at the time. I spoke about it on the match reaction. Most players take a touch there. Roy Keane said it. Most players take a touch. And if you take a touch, Liverpool gets set. But because he puts it in first time, it causes Konate problems. It causes the keeper problems. And Maguire does what Maguire can do, as he did against Lyon. He can get on the end of those and Man United win the game. But so much of that is down to Bruno Fernandes and his, you know, amazing talent to create. That, to me, just reiterates what I've said to you before about Bruno. Some people can't deal with this. Bruno Fernandes in the midfield, sell him to Saudi, get rid of him. He's not a good captain. Bruno Fernandes as a number 10, keep him at the football club. Don't let him go anywhere. And that's it. End of conversation. I cannot stand him in the midfield. But as a creator in the final third, I think you probably arguably got one of the best in Europe. And I don't like him in the midfield. And I actually thought he played shit yesterday, but then he gets that there. And people go, well, what are you criticising Bruno for? You know, you're mugging him off saying he's a crap midfielder and then he does that. And I'm like, yeah, was that what a midfielder does? Is that what a midfielder does on the left wing in the last few minutes, putting in a first-time cross? Or is that more what you'd expect from a creative player? Yeah, Bruno's our best creative. And, you know, I'm not going to change my opinion on that, despite being ecstatic this morning. Thanks to Lemens, defenders can focus on their jobs, says Nick. Manicanian has gifted 10 memberships this morning. You're an absolute legend, mate. Thank you very much. Lovely to see that on a Monday morning. The buzz is good. We need Lisandro Martinez now, says Hyens. Well, he's going to be a good player to bring back. Look, Luke Shaw played well yesterday. you know, I've been a big fan of Luke Shaw for years. And then he went to the Euros and, you know, in my opinion, shat on the club and the fans. And, you know, I sort of lost interest in Luke Shaw, but I'm never not going to be fair to any player. Criticism is valid, but if they play well, I don't hide that because I don't, you know, I'd sell the player. I think he played well yesterday. Everyone should hold their horses regarding Lemens. He started well, but he'll make a mistake at some point and people should remember that. Well, I think you spot on, Perk, and, you know, that's part of support, isn't it? We do need to remember that, you know, there will be mistakes from Lemens at some point. And look, he's not unstoppable, is he? You know, there's not a lot he can do on the Liverpool goal, or if Gakpo heads that in, he is going to concede goals. He's not, you know, he's not the iron wall or whatever he was, that joke was all about. He gifted 15 memberships. No, it says 10 here, mate. So, sorry. I missed that if it says anything else, but it clearly says 10. Let me carry on with some of the stuff that Roy Keane said. Anyway, so he said, there's still lots to fix. Let's not kid ourselves that Man United are a top side now. They are very far from it, but they now have a goal threat. That also eases the pressure on the players at the back. Two goals a game, and that gives them a chance of winning football matches. And I suppose, you know, that is, to be fair, the flip side of the not buying a midfielder. So if we get top five, a little bit like the team selections yesterday, I didn't like the team selections yesterday. Most of you didn't like the team selections yesterday, but we won the game, and I liked that. And I don't like the fact that we didn't buy a midfielder and we spent all that money on the attack. But if we get top five anyway, as much as it might be a bumpy ride, we still got top five. And I think, you know, Roy Keane is right again. If we can score two goals a game, and we are doing that in the last few weeks, then two goals in every Premier League game is probably going to get you a lot of points, wins, draws, etc. So Sesko, Cunha, Mount, Mbeumo, Ahmad, Bruno. There's a lot of creativity there in a 90-minute game. And we always looked a threat yesterday. I've seen United play Liverpool. I've seen United, you know, play other teams, and we just don't look like we're going to score. And I don't want to bring up names like Garnacho, etc., but there's a world of difference. And we were talking about this last season, and we should pat ourselves on the back about this. Many of us were talking last season about the need for experience. We don't need any more learner drivers. And learner drivers are young players that need nurturing and developing. And that's fine in the right circumstances. But I look at someone like Garnacho, and I watched him play for Chelsea at the weekend. And he is still a learner driver. And Chelsea fans were getting frustrated with him, and he got hooks at halftime. He is still a learner driver. You look at Mbeumo and Cunha and you go, they don't need subbing. You know, they might be having a bad game. Maybe you sub them then, but then they're not development players. They are into this team. They know what they're doing. They've done it at Brentford and Wolves, which is a harder environment. And at Manchester United, they are ready to go players. And you see them at Anfield yesterday, and they're not phased. You know, they're not like hiding. They're not like, I'm learning. They're into the team. And we said this last season, and Ruben Amorim deserves credit for that, because to go and spend that money on those players is significant, but it makes such a difference. To have Mbeumo and Cunha instead of a Garnacho and an Antony is, you can imagine yesterday if we had Garnacho and Antony instead of Mbeumo and Cunha. And straight away, I know, I can feel it. It's like inconsistent. You know, they're not going to be able to deal with that environment. They're not going to be able to, you know, stand up and deliver and, you know, hold the ball up and deal with the crowd. And Mbeumo and Cunha do that. And those players make a massive difference to this team. And we spoke about it in the preview. I said, I want Cunha to start because I don't know why we bought him if we don't start him in games like this. And, you know, we did predict that he'd go Sesko, Mount and Mbeumo, but he did shoehorn Cunha in. And I felt that that was harsh on Sesko. And I think in the first half, we missed Sesko because of the long ball. But Cunha has to start games like that. And we saw why. He didn't get a goal. He didn't get an assist. But he was a thorn in Liverpool's defence all the time because he fights. He holds the ball up. He takes people on. You know, he's got this aggression. And in games like that, and Mbeumo's got it as well, it makes such a difference. And it was interesting what Van Dijk said after the game, because he said, if you look at the game as a whole, we were too rushed on the ball. I think they were very patient. They didn't press as high up the pitch, but they didn't let us keep the ball either. We still created many opportunities to score, but the reality is we lost the game. And I think we frustrated Liverpool. We frustrated Liverpool without being oppressive. I think they rushed. And what Van Dijk's talking about is like, we didn't really press them high up the pitch, but we didn't let them play. And what he's saying is because they were rushing from back to front and we were set, we were winning the ball back a lot because they were trying to go through us too quickly. We didn't need to press them high up the pitch because we were well organized and structured. And then we pounced and it worked really, really well for us. Really, really well. I think Liverpool could have won that game. I think anybody can see that. But I think we deserve to win the game. And I never felt, and I heard Harry Maguire say this, and I completely agree with it. And I don't know about you. I never felt like, even when Liverpool were hitting the post, even when Gakpo had that chance at the end, if we'd have lost that game, I'd have gone, I don't really know how we lost it. And if we'd drawn that game, I'd have said, you know what? We could have won that game. Because I never felt, and it's a long time since we've been at Anfield and I felt like this, I normally feel on the edge of my seat worried. And you expect that because they're a good team at home. But I never felt like we were not in that game, if that makes sense. A few more comments from Roy Keane and then we'll go on to somebody else. He said, let's hope it's a turning point for Manchester United. Liverpool had a bit of luck at the back and Man United had a bit of luck at the back, but you need that going to Liverpool. As poor as Liverpool were, they had some great chances. It's a big win for Man United and a milestone for the manager, but they need to use this as a springboard to kick on. We've talked about belief. Maybe Liverpool have lost some after four defeats, but back-to-back wins for United will certainly build some belief. The players will go to the training ground this week and it'll be a better place. There's some positivity around the place now, but next they have a tricky game against Brighton coming up. And that, look, let's do what we want about that Brighton game. Let's call that Brighton game what we want. Tricky, easy, whatever. The reality is, I think Brighton are above us. We're at home. We need to win. We need to go and win the game against Brighton and build upon that. Now, this is where, I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on this. It's not even, you know, whatever. This is what Jamie Redknapp said. He said, what Sir Jim Radcliffe said about Ruben Amorim's future was quite unprecedented. He was even ridiculed for it, but perhaps that's changed the dynamic of the dressing room. Players who weren't necessarily thrilled about Amorim might have quieted down after Radcliffe's comments. He's here, so we might as well move forward. Perhaps it even created a sense of cohesion. I mean, I think that's a load of bollocks, but I bring it in because I think some people might agree with it. So what Redknapp's basically saying is that Sir Jim Radcliffe saying that he's going to back Amorim for 3 years is why we played well yesterday. I think that's way too simplistic. I think that's offensive to the players and I think it's offensive to the manager. I don't think that Sir Jim Radcliffe saying that he's going to give Amorim 3 years is why the players turned up yesterday. I think the players turned up yesterday because they're capable of turning up. It's a light switch. They beat Sunderland. Nobody gives them a chance at Anfield. And they turn up. And we saw them do that on the opening game of the season. I don't think it's anything to do with Sir Jim Radcliffe saying that he's going to give Amorim 3 years. I think that's completely separate. I think these players are capable of turning up in any game for the last decade. Manchester United can beat anybody on their day. We did it under Oli, we did it under Jose, we did it under Ten Hag, and we've done it under Amorim. The question is consistency. That's the only question. This is not about Ruben Amorim getting 3 years. It's not about anything Sir Jim Radcliffe's done. It's not about recruitment. It's not about tactics. It's about consistency. We are ridiculously inconsistent. But you can't just say that result shocked you as a Man United fan because we've seen it. You can't say we're capable of beating anybody on our day and then be shocked when we beat Liverpool because we know that. The issue is Brentford. The issue is, you know, every other bloody game we lose that we shouldn't lose. It's consistency. So how do you change that? Can that be changed by saying you're backing a manager for 3 years? I hope so. But the big question will be, even if we beat Brighton, even if we beat Forest, if we then don't go and beat Spurs, we're always going to be one bad result away from they've done it again. But some results are acceptable. Some defeats are acceptable. As I've said, like Newcastle lost 12 last season and finished fifth. If you're going to lose 12 games, you're going to lose a few games, aren't you? So Newcastle lost at the weekend to Brighton. They could still be in the top five race. So we are going to lose some games along the way, but consistency is improving your win ratio. Amrim's win ratio is probably what? Around 30% now? We sacked Mourinho with a win ratio higher than 55%. Like, that's what we need to get up. We need to start winning a hell of a lot more games. And people who start running away with the fact that we beat Liverpool and we can do this, we can do that, we actually are massively underachieving. We're really underachieving. The win ratio should be well above 50%. And even then, you might not get top four. So consistency is the key. It's not about Sir Jim Ratcliffe saying he's going to back Amrim for 3 years. I mean, that was a stupid comment and it didn't need to be said. What he needed to say was, we're back in Amrim and it's not an easy job. But that's not why the players have started turning up, because I don't believe that these players want Amrim out. I don't know what Jamie Redknapp's talking about players maybe who didn't want Amrim now be signing. Well, I may as well try because he's here for 3 years. That's not how the modern player works. And I also don't think we have many players in the dressing room that want Amrim out anyway. I just think that we have a collection of players who, and the point's still valid, you know, Ruben Amrim said himself, you know, the experience of people like Harry Maguire is really, really important. Well, it is and it isn't, because it's really important yesterday because it wins us the game. But I wouldn't sit here and say that Harry Maguire's experience is exactly what we need to win the Premier League, because he's never won a Premier League. You know, he's never won a Champions League. He's actually seen many managers get sacked, and he's actually played in games where we've been shit a lot as well. So I think that regards United, I agree with Roy Keane. We can't overanalyze one result. This needs to become three or four wins in a row. We can't overanalyze the tactics. We can't overanalyze that these players are back again when 2 weeks ago they're not back. The one thing we're chasing is consistency. And that's why I loved Amrim's comments after the game, because I don't think we were lucky, but I do think we need to find consistency on a big level at Manchester United, because that's what's going to take us, you know, back to the very top, I suppose. Sorry, let me have a look at this. So a few more comments to get into, then we'll come back to yours. Just on Harry Maguire, was fantastic yesterday, won us the game. He says, I'm in my last year of the contract, so this could be the last time I play at Anfield with this club. It was therefore very important for me to come here and win. I mean, look, the clamour will be to give him another contract now, won't it? Because that was being discussed in the international break. I still wouldn't give him a new contract, by the way. Not unless he's going to take 80 grand a week. I wouldn't give him a new contract, because I think in a year's time, Lenny Yoro shouldn't be being benched. De Ligt's brilliant. He's still got Mazraoui. Martinez should be back. Harry Maguire is a centre-back in a back three starting. I don't see that happening in a year's time, but he wants to stay around as a squad member. That's fine, but not on 190 grand a week. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that one. But deservedly man of the match yesterday. A few other bits I want to get into as well. I just want to go back to your comments too, because they're flying in this morning. Clayton Daniels says, I'm impressed that we won so much of the second ball yesterday. We need the players to turn up every week. Consistency is key. Never doubted. Harry Maldini to bag the win. Have a great week, everyone. Says Clayton. You too, bro. Hope you're having a great morning this morning. And look, there's a lot of people who will be having a great morning this morning, of course. Big Z says, really happy with the win last night. I agree it could have gone anyway, but we also worked hard and deserved the win. Lamens is a big difference. Thank you very much, Big Z. Ray Carl Brown says, beat Brighton and play good. Suddenly we go on. We're on 16 points. That's good, says Ray. When are we actually, I suppose I can look at this myself. I'm probably a little bit like Amrim. I don't look at our fixtures beyond the immediate, because it can be depressing at times. But so yeah, we're playing on 5:30 on Saturday, so it's televised, which is good. But 5:30 on Saturday, so 5:30 on Saturday, and then 3:00 the following Saturday, and then 12:30 the following Saturday. So three Saturday games in a row. But yeah, that Brighton game, huge. Caleb, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for joining and getting your badge in. We love that. Christian says, amazing with a keeper like Lemens. He has aura. Well, look, as I said, I don't want people to not give Ahmad credit, because it feels to me like when we did the player ratings last night, I was very surprised to see him getting a seven. I gave him, I think, a 7.5 or an 8. He would have been my man of the match if he hadn't been taken off. I thought he had a very, very good game and he deserves the credit. But also, you know, a lot of people want to talk about the goalkeeper. And I have seen a few people ridiculing United fans, having a pop at us, saying, you know, what has he actually done in two games? He's made a couple of good saves. That's it. It's not just that. You know, your man of the match is not a striker because he scores two tap-ins in two games. There might be a player that's running the game in the midfield. And I think that it's the subtle things that Lemens has done that has made the difference and why so many of us are very happy. It's the confidence. It's the aura, as you just said there. It's the positioning. It's the basics. It's not like he's playing like Alisson or Raya or Courtois or Neuer. He's not playing at that level. God, you know, nobody's saying that he is. But what he is doing is doing something we haven't seen since David De Gea. And he's not as good as De Gea, of course, but we haven't seen this since David De Gea, which is a goalkeeper who just does his job and doesn't cause panic. And I'm not just talking in the fan base. I'm talking in the defense, in the team. Like, you go back to an honouring goal, every cross into the box. I mean, let's not forget Grimsby, Prattman, two-handed, misses the ball. So every cross into the box, you're shitting yourself. Every shot, even if he saves it, you're shitting yourself that he's going to volleyball it back into play. And then any low shot, you're thinking he ain't going to get down for that. That's what we've had for 2 years. We've had a goalkeeper that, and he's kicking with shit as well, even though that was meant to be what he was good at. So, you know, I look at the Onana era and I go, well, not very good on crosses, not very good at, you know, shot stopping, not very good on low shots, and not very good on kicking. So we've had that for 2 years. And in the last two games, we've had a goalkeeper. And look, you know what? It's a little bit like this. It's a little bit like, you know, getting a job, doing whatever it is that you want, that the previous person was shit. You don't even have to be amazing to look amazing. And I think Lemens has got immense potential. But the uptick from Onana to him is so big because the last guy was just so bad at so many things. And already in Lemens, we're going, well, maybe he will be world-class. Maybe he'll just be decent. Maybe he'll just be okay. But he's just, you know, to pardon the pun, he's a safe pair of hands at a time where we haven't had that. And that makes a difference. The fan base is far more confident. The team is more confident. And he just does things that I understand rivals looking at us and going, you know, what does he do? Why are they going mad? But we haven't had that. We haven't had that. We've had a clowning goal. And I don't think Binda was much better, if I'm being honest. So it's been a massive, massive improvement for Manchester United. And look, I think the big thing as well is that I've seen Dubravka in goal for United on loan miss kick a bloody pass back. I mean, how do you do that? Nerves. We've seen so many. I mean, even Barthez at Man United, Mark Bosnich, going back years and years, just couldn't deal with the pressure of being a Man United goalkeeper. So for a young lad like that to come in two games, and one of them games is Anfield, and perform like he is, there will be mistakes. There will be bad games because he's human, but it's a huge, huge improvement, huge, huge improvement. And he deserves the credit. And that's, you know, hopefully that last minute or two explains why we're all really happy with him. It's not because he's pulling off worldie after worldie after worldie. It's because he's doing his job. He's doing his job. And that's what everybody did yesterday. And that's why we won the game. Please do share the video, everybody. We're very close to 11,000 watching, and make sure you smash a like this morning. So people celebrate a win if they are Amrim out, says SOS. I mean, I don't know how that works. I'm not sure I'm going to get into that, but all I do know is that there's a lot of angry Amrim outers before the Liverpool game who are now running around celebrating a win. I don't know how that works. Yeah, maybe you can inform us how that works. Maybe it's, you know, maybe opinions change like the swipe on TikTok. I don't know.
Some of us are a little bit more, you know, analytical in our views, and we don't change them. And if we do change them, we tend to want to stick to that view. I think some people change their views like the fucking weather. SOS says, so people can't celebrate a win if they're Amrim out. No, well, sorry, I've misread your point there. I actually thought you were being sarcastic. You can celebrate a win if you're Amrim out. I just don't understand how you're enjoying it as much as everybody else is, because how do you run around, you know, morally going, getting United, have that Liverpool, come on, United. How can you do that when you can't stand the manager? And, I don't understand that. But look, come one, come all. It's fine. But I don't get how anybody who's Amrim out is enjoying his win. Is that because you're now Amrim in again? Or I don't get it. But look, that's yours. That's yours. Absolutely yours. Happy Monday, everyone. I think we can all agree Laments has a great future ahead, and that we can all truly, madly, deeply do pray it continues, says Tom. Anana seemed like a nice guy, says Big Z, a good character, but he was the reason why we flopped out of the Champions League group stage and lost so many games. He's the reason we're out of the Carabao Cup as well. He's making it look simple, says Sean from Ireland. We still need to get rid of Shaw, Dalot, Maguire, Mount and Casemiro next summer, says Martin Galane. Look, beat Brighton, beat Forest, reconvene here, and we'll be going, we're in the top five, got a great opportunity to keep building. Let's keep building. Happy days. I still, in the longer term, and it's not really for this morning, I don't want to get into it this morning, but I still, in the longer term, would query the team selection yesterday and go, okay, you got the result against Liverpool. It wasn't resounding. It was brilliant. It was great. But I still don't like not playing with a striker. I still don't like Dalot at left wing back. He's shit. I still don't like Bruno in the midfield. I still don't think Casemiro long term in the midfield makes sense, because you have to sub him every time he gets that obligatory yellow card. And again, you know, Luke Shaw played well, probably for the first time this season. But how long is that going to last? I mean, it's World Cup year, so he might stay fit all year. But you know what I mean? There is still things that I want to see him do. But then you look at the team and you go, Yoro came on and he was brilliant, that he replaces a Maguire or a Shaw. Dorgu came on and was way better than Dalot, so that's that problem solved. Sesko, we know, can play up front, so that's a striker. Midfield, obviously, is not going to get solved this season, really, because I don't think we've really got the midfield that we need. He says Dalot's a very professional, but not a United player. I think Dalot, you know, I know people who know him, really hardworking, really dedicated professional, really has everything in him. You know, he's not out partying. You know, he's not dedicated. He's not dedicated. He's hardworking. He puts the work in. He's a good lad, a professional, but he ain't good enough. Unfortunately, there's nothing wrong with that. You have talented people who waste their talent, and you have hard workers who just aren't quite it. And I think Dalot is not quite it. Two or three years ago, I thought he was. The last two or three years, I remember people saying Wan-Bissaka should start on over Dalot, and I was Dalot over Wan-Bissaka. In hindsight, I don't know whether I was right or wrong on that, but it's just not. I can't remember the last good game he had. I mean, you could go back a year ago. I know he's not a goal scorer, but he should have scored that goal against West Ham. And, you know, Ten Hag gets sacked. So I don't remember the last time Dalot played well, and I don't understand why Amrim's playing him at left wing back. I sort of do. A lot of people said, well, Salah comes in on his left foot and Dalot is right footed, but I mean, that's a little bit too technical for me. You know, is Dalot playing well? No. Has Dorgu been playing better than him? Yes. So I think Dorgu would have caused Salah lots of problems yesterday, because Salah played shit. Impressed. Thank you very much for that. There we go. Okay, sorry, I'm just catching up on some super chats here. David says, I'm glad to see Lemens use his feet when he makes saves. Anana would have never saved Isaac's shot, says David. Caleb, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you. I'm happy this morning, says JR, but we was 4 points off top four last season in November. So I just hope we can motor forward this season and continue to rack up some wins. Look, I can't offer anything because it's Man United and we're so inconsistent, but I will offer this morning. I cannot for the life of me see us finishing outside the top eight. I just cannot. And there's reasons for this. Dalit's playing too well. Yoro is hungry. Mazraoui is there and Martinez will be back. Lemens looks steady at the back. Dorgu is better this season than last season. Cunha and Mbeumo are just brilliant characters. Sesko is hungry. I think there's too many players there for us to be down in 15th. Last season, we were down in 15th because there were so many problems. I don't see us down that area. I'm not saying we're going to be top four. I'm not even going to say we're going to be top five. But I always said, I looked at this team and thought we'd be somewhere between 5th and 10th. I'd now say I can't see us finishing below 8th. I just think that there's too many positives in that team. There are weaknesses as well, but I think that the battle is going to be how close can we get to 5th, because that changes our future if we can get back in the Champions League. It feels like Liverpool in the early Klopp years, good against top teams, struggling against defensive teams, didn't win until he got the midfield sorted, says Slazy. And Dave the Brave says, if we're in touching distance in January, Ineos will be more compelled to buy a midfielder to help out rather than wait for the summer. Well, you'd hope that. Doesn't mean they would, but you'd hope that. Done that one as well. Bruno has no legs in the second half. Made so many poor decisions. Amrabat needs to manage that if he's going to stand by him. Look, as a midfielder, I thought Bruno was poor. As the provider to the winning goal, I thought it was world class. I just would play him as a number 10, but then we've got too many number 10s. Wacky says, Mark, mate, I don't know how you stay so calm during horrid spells. I find myself so livid when someone makes a mistake or has a poor game. And Shawshank says, one thing the current goalkeeper has that I've noticed is that he's confident on the ball and has a long range of passing. He just needs to work on the accuracy, which is good for the attack that we have. Yeah, well, I mean, look, he has to be a work in progress by definition, certainly. Tom says, happy Monday, everyone. I think I've done that one. And SOS says, we enjoy winning when we're hammering out because we support the team and not the manager. Duh. Mate, you don't need to put dirt on the end of it. You just come across as an immature little shit. I still don't understand what you're talking about. So you celebrate the win yesterday like a real Man United fan, but you're hammering out. I don't get that. Sorry, I'm allowed to not get it. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the chat who agree with you, but I don't get that. So you're jumping around yesterday going, United, but you don't like the manager. You want him to get the sack. That's, to me, a little bit hypocritical, if I'm being completely honest. That's a bit conflicted, because if you've made the decision to be Amrim out, that means you want him sacked. And then when he wins a game, you're there going, United. I find that odd. Why not just go, I'm backing this manager, I'm backing this team, I have my reservations, and if I get proved right, I get proved right. But you know what? I don't want to see another manager get sacked. I want my team to win. So I'm going to get behind the team and the manager and let's hope we can keep winning. I don't understand how you can be United, get Amrim out, unless it's just stubbornness, unless you've said it and now you can't change your mind. In which case, change your mind, get behind the manager, get behind the team and be a little bit more patient, you know? Happy Diwali, everyone, says Mojo. Thank you very much. Not to me. Yeah, I'm happy Diwali to everybody. I nearly called it the Stadium of Light. It's not the Stadium of Light. It's the Festival of Light. The Stadium of Light's well, I don't know whether it's still there. It used to be in Benfica. But happy Diwali. Always a lovely time of year with the bonfires and the fireworks. There we go. But look, seriously, I'm talking to SOS there about how he's running around going, yeah, United. But then he's hammering out. I find that weird. If you hammer him out, I ain't got a problem with it. In some ways, I respect it, because one win against Liverpool shouldn't change your mind if you've made your mind up and that's where you are. I'm just saying, the people running around going, United, hold that, Liverpool, United. I'm hammering him out. Get rid of Amrim. He's a clueless idiot, you know. And there are people like that out there. And I just think, look, the way I am is I'm massively critical of a lot of the things Amrim does. I still cannot stand Bruno in the midfield. And I still feel justified in that because I thought he was shit yesterday in the midfield. But do not want to sack another manager. I love a lot of the things that Amrim says. And I loved what he said after the game yesterday. He's real. He's honest. He's stubborn. Yes. But I want it to work because if it gets broken down again, I don't think we've got the money. I don't think we've got the owners. I don't think we've got the squad. I don't know that there's a way back under this ownership. Nothing changes that. But if there's going to be a way back, I think it has to be with this manager because changing it again, I just think it gets harder and harder every time we change it. And unless we're getting a change of ownership, and I don't think we're going to get that lucky. The only way out, and it's going to take a miracle, the only way out of this is always going to be another Sir Alex, or as somebody said there, Jurgen Klopp. We need to find a manager that can, you know, produce a miracle like Sir Alex did. And if we get rid of Amrim, where's this next miracle coming from? So at times I look at it and I go, I don't think Amrim can get us out of this. And then you get a result like yesterday and you go, maybe he can. And that's the only thing I'm clinging on to. And that's why I'm not going to say Amrim out, because as much as I think he makes mistakes and as much as I don't like some of the stuff he does, I just don't think the answer is sacking another manager. And he does talk a lot of sense as well. And it might be the impossible job, but it might be the impossible job, not because of him, but because of everything else going around him. So I just think Amrim out doesn't help. But if you are, you are, you know? Watching Liverpool in crisis video has made my day. Yeah, you can check that out on Matt's Football. It deserves to get a million views, that. I did record it last night with much glee. I did a video this morning with Robbie, actually. We were talking about whether the referee should have blown the whistle. I don't understand why Man United fans are defending Michael Oliver, by the way. I mean, I actually find it quite satisfying to say this. By the letter of the law, the protocol says if somebody goes down with a head injury, you should blow the whistle straight away. So he should have blown the whistle straight away. It doesn't matter whether Van Dijk, I've seen people saying, but Van Dijk did it. That's not the protocol. The whole point is serious head injury, you blow the whistle, no matter how. You could hit the post. It doesn't matter. He should have blown the whistle. Now, Robbie was saying, maybe he didn't see it. I said, well, mate, if he didn't see it, I saw it when I was watching the game. I was like, there's a player gone down, but he's played on. So the referee did see it. He didn't follow the letter of the rules. But as it said on the Liverpool shirt, play on. Like, it's nothing to do with us. It's got nothing to do with Manchester United. We've got every right to go, leave that with you. We've played on. We've scored 1-0. Thank you very much. Yeah, let's kick off let's start the game again. Officiating in this country is shit. Nathan Collins should have been sent off against Brentford, and maybe that crap result turns into a win for us, whether we deserved it or not. So I'll leave that with them. I've seen United fans defending Michael Oliver. I don't even understand why. He fucked up. He made a massive mistake, but we've had it against us loads of times, and I'm sure it'll happen to us again. They're not fit for purpose, the PGMOL and the referees. They are inconsistent. They don't know their own rules, but it ain't our problem because we've been victim to it as well. So leave that with you. I don't think it makes a massive difference in the game anyway, because it wasn't like we scored that goal and then Liverpool dominated us. I don't think we were lucky. I think it could have gone other ways, but it went our way. And it was a close game and we won it. And I'll leave Liverpool with that, because to be fair, Michael Oliver's not a very good referee, but we've had our own decisions. So leave it as that. It's what I say. And we should have no guilt in enjoying a win for the first time in nearly 10 years at Anfield. So says, you celebrate goals from players you don't like, Fellaini. So why can't people celebrate their team regardless of their stand on the manager, hypocrite? Fellaini's not been at the club for 10 years, mate, actually. And I don't think I really did celebrate his goals that much, to be honest with you. But it's always a win when people go back a decade to try and justify an argument today. Mate, the fact that you've done a super chat, I'll take that. I still don't understand how some United fans can be screaming and shouting Amrim out, some abusive, and then be sat there going, United, United. I don't understand it. But you know what? It takes all sorts in the world. And come one, come all. Absolutely. It's a little bit different when a player in a Man United shirt scores a goal. Celebrating that goal is a little bit different from screaming, get this manager out, he's clueless, and then he wins at Anfield and you go, get it, get it. It's a little bit different when that win was totally down to that manager's decisions, tactics and selections. You might not like a player, but if they score a goal and it's a tap-in, well, anyone could score that. I'm going to celebrate it. But I don't understand how people can go, Amrim out, get out, he's fucking clueless, and then be going, United, United, United. You're celebrating because of Amrim. So I thought you wanted to get rid of him. That result yesterday is because of Amrim. It was his team, his selections. I mean, it couldn't not be more Amrim. It was so Amrim that as somebody who was Amrim in, I didn't even like the team he picked. So he's the guy who won us the game yesterday. That's my point. His selections, his substitutions, his team, his formation, his motivation. He architected that, orchestrated that result yesterday. So it's a little bit different, I would say. What I'm trying to say is maybe change your mind, enjoy the win yesterday, appreciate what Amrim did and give him a chance. Maybe give him another chance, you know, because that's what I'm basically saying. Why, if you're so happy with the win yesterday, why not go, you know what, maybe I'll give him a chance, because there's a very good chance we're going to beat Brighton on Saturday. Are you going to still be Amrim out? You know, if he gets us in the top four, are you going to still be Amrim out? Because I tell you what, there's still some Pratt Arsenal fans who are Arteta out because they were Arteta out years ago and they cannot accept they got it wrong. So, you know, don't be like them. Arsenal are top of the league and favourites to win the league with a brilliant squad. And there are still some Arsenal fans who are Arteta out because they said Arteta out 3 or 4 years ago and they can't accept that they might be wrong. But we're all wrong in life. There's nothing wrong with being wrong. Just get behind the team, I think. But you know what? Maybe you wait until Saturday and I'll be wrong. You know, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, thanks everyone for watching. Great show this morning, as always. We're back live at 2 o'clock, of course. We've got the 8 o'clock show tonight. Look, good start to the week. We haven't got that long to wait as well. Thank God. Good thing about playing on a Sunday is if you're playing on a Saturday, it's less time. None of those rubbish Monday night games. I mean, you know what? I will just say this. I thought this morning. You know, we've got 3 Monday night games coming up in late November and December. This is my problem with it. The biggest problem is shitting on fans that, you know, travel home and away. It's disgusting. But then another minor frustration is, if you think about this weekend, we feel like we've had the weekend, don't we? Brentford and West Ham play tonight. Monday night football has got nothing to do with the weekend. You don't even feel part of it. Like, you think about Chelsea Forest on Saturday lunchtime, you know, Arsenal Fulham on Saturday, Man United Liverpool yesterday. We've still got to wait till 8 o'clock tonight for the 8 o'clock Monday night game. It's a long wait. Thanks for watching. Absolute legends this morning. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. Please do check out That's Football for my Liverpool in Crisis video. It's always nice to go and dwell on that. And we'll speak to you all in a little bit. Take care. Stay safe. Thanks for watching.